Good day, everyone. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. Here in my backyard patio, watching the sunset. It's about ready to disappear beyond the horizon. It's been a hot day, about 100 degrees, and it's going to be 100 degrees for the next few days in a row. But I enjoy it. It's wonderful. And the vegetation around here in South Texas is green and lush. And it's just so nice. At this time of the day, it's wonderful. And then the sun will go down. There'll be a warm summer breeze. It's all around here in the foothills, in the outskirts of San Antonio. Anyway, it's been 2 weeks since my last show. And tonight I'm going to talk about a few things. One thing in particular is a book that I just found, and I think I read it before. I can't remember for sure. It talks about heaven, revealing heaven, in a way that maybe I haven't read it, although I can't believe it would be in my drawer and I haven't read it. Perhaps I bought it with the intent to read it. I didn't read it, but for the last 30 minutes I've been looking through it, and it's got some really interesting information that I wasn't familiar with about heaven, and so I'm going to talk about that and other things as well that I've thought about over the last couple of weeks. Anyway, one thing I wanted to talk about is the devil and Archangel Lucifer. But before I get into that, let me just say, for those who might not know me, my name is Blake Ruby. I'm the author of The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. And many thanks to BBS Radio for all that they've done for me. I've been able to speak these words on this show. And I know there are people that listen to me. And even though I don't get paid for it, it's still a great opportunity to speak these words into the atmosphere and help make the world a better place. And God knows, and you know, we all need to make the world a better place, especially when you turn on the news these days and they say that we're on the brink of thermonuclear war, the rhetoric that's going on between our president and Kim Jong-un. Well, the time is even more right for us to be developing ourselves spiritually, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And as I've said on previous shows, and whether or not you have given this much thought, we are here to develop spiritually. It doesn't matter if you're the president or if you're a billionaire, if you're a movie star, rock star, a great celebrity, a great personality doing wonderful things for your community, for planet Earth. The only thing that really matters is, and by the way, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I don't want to give the impression that I'm telling people things, although most of what I've learned is from other people. But I want to be known as someone who's fair and who does the right thing, doing the right thing. Excuse me, didn't take a drink of water. And even though I say these things with conviction and belief, and as a result of much research, much reading and conversation with people and introspection, thinking about a lot of these concepts, because I'm getting older and I've been doing this for many years now, it's still just my opinion. And we're all entitled to our opinion, right? I think that is important to put out there, because there are many people who don't believe that they have the right to express their opinion, to say something that is against what they believe, they can react in a negative way, sometimes violently. Case in point, what's going on, what happened earlier today, and I don't know too much about it. It was on the news, and I frankly, even though I said a prayer for the situation, and I have a prayer, may God bless the loved ones, those who were killed. I think one person was killed, probably some more injured. I don't know too much about the details, but I pray for them. And I'm getting a little bit sidetracked here, so let me get back to what I was talking about. God's will. It is God's will that we develop ourselves spiritually. Nothing else matters. Evolving. So no matter what your wealth is, or what you're involved with in Earth, here on this planet, if you're not developing yourself spiritually and evolving, then you're not accomplishing God's mission for your life. And yes, we were all given missions at that point in time, for lack of a better way of describing it, when we existed before coming to Earth. Yes, that's a thought that people don't consider too much. Then again, souls who are on their soul journeys aren't always advanced souls. I'm not saying I'm an advanced soul, but you have to understand, when a soul is born, created, it has to begin somewhere, right? And the universe has been in existence for billions of years. So from the Big Bang outward, solar system by solar system, galaxy by galaxy, and here we are in the Milky Way galaxy, many billions of years from the center of the universe, then it's more than likely there are a lot of newly created souls, and so they haven't had the benefit of the journeying, being on a journey of their soul for many, many years, thousands of years possibly, many past lives. And so with those young souls, are you a young soul, a new soul? Then it's a different perspective, if you will. Spiritual development doesn't mean a lot to the young souls who probably are more interested in making money. And money is necessary. I need it. You need it. We all need it. However, you can't take it with you, logically. You know that. And I've talked about many different things in my previous shows. I'm a member of a Toastmasters club for Sam Houston called the Future Speakers on the Horizon. Also, we call ourselves the Fort Sam Houston Toastmasters, FSH. You know, you can interchange those. And so I gave a speech on Thursday, and we didn't have that many people there. Four of us. We've had as many as 17. It all depends on how busy people are and their workload at work. But still, we can have productive meetings with just a few people. And so I gave a speech, and it was an overview of my book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, which I intend, by the way, to republish, because there were some errors in spelling and punctuation that I didn't catch in my haste to publish it in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. And so my wife is editing it, and it will be republished. And I'm going to use the picture that is in my BBS website for the cover of the book. And my goal is to make hard copies and distribute those, because I feel that this information that I have, and it took a long time writing the book, and then I sat on it for 8 years. So 16 years from the moment I started writing my book until when it was published. And I had doubts. I was hesitant about publishing it because it is very esoteric. It has secret principles, if you will. I don't know if you've ever heard of a group called the Rosicrucians, who are a mystical order. My mother was one for many years, and I was one. And they have existed for 5,000 years and were around when the Egyptians had their civilization and were very advanced in what they did and what they believed in. And the pyramids were actually these temples that they used to connect with other civilizations around the universe, apparently. And I believe they were also in touch with extraterrestrial beings, to include the kind that looked like dogs. You remember those tall dogs? Well, it's true that there are thousands and thousands of beings out there that you've seen Star Wars, right? Star Trek. Some of the extraterrestrials that are portrayed in those movies, from what I heard, people who are, you know, pretty high up in the hierarchy of the UFO and extraterrestrial phenomena, that, and people who have been abducted by extraterrestrials, that some of these extraterrestrials that they portray in those movies actually do resemble the ones that are out there. Evolution, you have to understand, is not only including or involving us as human beings, but other sentient beings around the universe, but also animals. Animals are evolving too. And so it's not impossible to believe or imagine, if you will, that there are, that maybe thousands of years from now, the animals that we know, cats and dogs, birds, and others, you know, could one day, through, you know, dying, and then the process of reincarnation is applicable to them also, they could eventually be able to stand up and develop the intelligence to do things like we are doing today, and possibly even, and yes, even transcend the confines of the planet that they live on at the time in the future, travel into outer space and be star travelers. Anyway, so, I like saying that. Anyway, and so, there might be two common words. I was talking about giving a speech, and one of the members that was present at the Toastmasters meeting last Thursday is a chaplain, Army chaplain, who I work with, and he was entrusted in developing his public speaking skills as a Toastmaster like I am. I've been a Toastmaster for over 11 years. And so I was talking about my book, and one of the subjects in my book is about our spirit parents, that there is a mother and a father God. And so as I was explaining it to them, because I didn't want to hold anything back. I just, you know, wanted to be completely transparent. And so I gave my rationale, my logic. Well, and I've talked about this on previous shows. And I know that the Christian faith only believes in the Father God. Well, and I don't want to have to keep, you know, supporting my views. But I suppose there's always a new audience every time there's a different show, a new show. As we know how the reproductive process works, there has to be both a mother and a father. The spirit father can't create children by himself. It's not logical, because the only way we can understand how the reproductive process works is with a male and a female. And not only that, and indeed, the spirit mother and father create a lot of spirit children. We are all their children. Even Jesus, when he prayed on the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Our Father who art..." Hello? Hello? Did anybody hear that? Our Father. So the only son, Jesus being the only son, is thrown out the window right there. Yes? No? Does that make sense? Anyway, also, I'm a husband to my wife. I know I always want a woman around, and I've mentioned this before. What man would not want a woman around? Hello? Yes? Anyway, moving on. So I gave my speech, and it went well. Another controversial subject I want to bring up now is about the devil. And as I see it, the devil is nothing more, no one more than Archangel Lucifer. And he didn't fall from grace. He works for God. Because our God, I'm talking about our spirit mother and father, as well as, you know, the supreme creator of the universe who created everything. As I've mentioned in previous shows, we have co-creator gods, solar systems, who live on the sun, which is heaven. And we are also co-creator god apprentices. One day, we too will have our own solar system. Hopefully, it might be a long time for some, especially the new souls. But the more advanced souls, as they evolve and reincarnate and continue to evolve, one day we'll be able to create their own spirit children and their own planets, have their own, I'm going to take a drink of water, their own property in outer space, yes. Outer space is not limited, it's infinite. There's lots of room out there for everybody to have your own stomping ground, have your own sun. You're going to know how to do it because, as the Bible says, and I refer to the Bible, I might not agree with everything the Bible says, but another drink of water. Now the cat wants to come in. Simba, you want to go inside? Okay, he's pushing that door. He knows how to do it himself anyway. But I'm going to help him out of here. So the process of evolution, in accordance with the Supreme Creator's will, dictates that as the universe expands and grows, that new solar systems are created. And so there are co-creator gods, male and female, who are in charge of those solar systems. On our sun, the matrix of our solar system, whose energy not only lights and heats our world, but also rotates and revolves the planets and moons. So one day, I will be a co-creator god, and you will too. That's why developing yourself spiritually is so important. And I say, we. Now time to turn the light on, because it's getting dark here. I think I'll turn the fan on, too. I can walk. I've got my phone here. I'm using my phone. It works better for me than the computer laptop and the headphones that I have used before. Anyway, so back to Archangel Lucifer. Consider this. The Supreme Creator and the co-creator gods have quite a lot of power. You know, they're omnipotent, basically, especially the Supreme Creator. So, and they're omniscient, too. They're all-knowing. When they create beings, they're not going to create, and they create angels, too, besides us, you know, our souls and spirits. They're not going to create a being that has the power or who has power equal to them. That does not make sense. And they would know in the future, because they're all-knowing, that individual would rebel and try to usurp his or her authority. That is not logical or rational. So I concluded, I didn't always believe this, but that, and I read a book called, actually it wasn't a book, it was a near-death experience I read on a website by Lou Formosa, who almost died in a car wreck. His car went end over end several times. He was going 100 miles an hour down the road. And he had an encounter with God, and God showed him these three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. The thing is, Michael, I'm now going back to what I said, Archangel Michael is in charge of the angels. You've heard that. He's a huge, huge angel, maybe 15 feet tall. And Archangel Lucifer is in charge of the demons. Why do we need demons? Well, we know that people can be pretty evil at times, don't we? Pretty nasty. Think back throughout history. People like Hitler, Saddam Hussein, others, you know who I'm talking about. Many names throughout our past, all the wars we've had, people that have started these wars that we've had throughout our centuries here on Earth that kind of make us look like species that is going to destroy ourselves, you know? There has to be a way to keep these people in check. One way to do it is with demons. And there are demons in hell, too. These demons have a role to play. They work for God. They were created by God. Think about that. How do you think they were created? You think they were created by Archangel Lucifer? No. Archangel Lucifer doesn't have the power to create. He only manages. He's in charge of the demons and hell, which is, in fact, God's jail. The people who commit murder, who are non-believers, who commit different types of abuse here on earth, are likely candidates to go to hell, which is beneath the surface of the earth, in a place where there is lava fire. That makes sense, right? Molten lava in the center of our earth. It's a place where a lot of people are going to nowadays, and that's a shame because things like this, having a radio show or a radio station, BBS Radio, with all the great shows that they have, people who are psychic mediums, who believe in angels, UFOs, people who question, who think outside the box rather than the traditional types, you know. Anyway, so Archangel Lucifer is in charge of the demons. People who go to hell don't go there for eternity, in my opinion. Damnation is not eternal. It is like a jail. And so they spend their time, and of course, God is aware, the angels are aware of them being there, and aware of the time that they've spent there so far. And so they do their time, and then they begin the process to get back into the reincarnation cycle and eventually continue their evolution. And their soul is all the better for it, because that time spent in hell and being tormented by demons and hearing the screaming of those who are burning in lake fire and these small animals and snakes and spiders that bite them occasionally and the worms that crawl in their bones, that all helps them to realize, hey, you know, I was a pretty evil person, they're saying to themselves. You know, indeed, I need to change my ways. I need to change my way of thinking. And so these demons, I believe, also interact with us here on Earth, but their roles are more of an intimidation type, a prompting type. If you're not living in accordance with God's will for your life, the mission that God gave you when you existed in the spirit realms prior to being born, and you don't remember that because this is a very specific learning environment, we were made not to remember because we're on a Category 1 planet. Of 9 categories, where 1 is the lowest and 9 is the highest on an evolutionary scale. So as you evolve, then you're born onto a higher evolutionary status planets. Me, another drink of water. I would like to go to the very top. That's my goal, to get to a planet like Thaya Uba in our Milky Way galaxy, as described in the book Abduction to the Ninth Planet, which is a veritable paradise. It's like heaven in the material world. And the race of extraterrestrials that live there are hermaphrodite, about 9 feet tall, extremely intelligent, technologically and spiritually one of the 3 most advanced in the Milky Way galaxy. They've been monitoring Earth for thousands of years. So they abducted the author of this book, Michael Desmarquette, took him to their planet for 10 days, and taught him all kinds of things about the universe and God, so he could come back and write a book. One of the things I said is that we're at a kind of a crossroads here on Earth, where we need to start developing our spirituality in earnest, because our technology is taking off and we are in danger of destroying ourselves. And you know that. I mean, with all this rhetoric going on between our president and Kim Jong-un, that just explains what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? We've gotten to this point because of the, even though we've done well, you know, we're making good progress, still we have a long way to go. I'm sure you would agree. And so our technology has to be held in check with our spirituality. That's more important than, you know, some of these companies, they just want to make money. It's understandable. Who doesn't want to make money, lots of money? Winning the lottery, you know, winning $300, $400 million appeals to all of us, although it might not be a good thing, because it could change, it'll change, it would change our lives forever. And a lot of negativity could result of it. A lot of people go bankrupt with all that money all of a sudden, and people are coming out of the woodwork, so to speak, wanting their piece of the pie. And so a lot of bad can come of that. But anyway, so reiterating what I said about Archangel Lucifer, contrary to what the Bible says, I do not believe that he's a fallen angel, because God is all-knowing and all-powerful, does not make mistakes, does not know what's going to happen in the future, does not give a being the power to usurp his or her authority. The only logical explanation, therefore, is that the Archangel Lucifer works for God, and the demons too, in a sense, because they were created by the Creator. A new way of thinking. A new way. I'm not saying that the Bible, all the Bible is wrong. I respect the Bible as a great book. It has a lot of wisdom. It talks about divine intervention on a scale we've never seen before in our past. Many beautiful things to look back upon. And indeed, all those people that lived back then, 2,000 years ago, with the exception of some who were advanced souls, were kind of like on the lower level of the evolutionary scale, on the lower level of the evolutionary scale. And we've come a long way since then. So why is it not logical to think that we are more evolved, smarter, more intelligent than they are or were? The only reason that there was divine intervention, because they had lost their way. They were involved with a lot of negativity, evil, so to speak, you know, back then. But there were the ones that wrote, the writers, the advanced souls that lived back then, who perhaps had been, who had lived previous lives throughout the universe, and who came to help. And that's what I think I am. As Sylvia Brown put it in her book, a mystic traveler, someone who comes back down the evolutionary ladder, if you will, to help along those who were of the new souls type. You know, this planet here is an incredible planet. When you think about it, isn't it big, first of all, right? Incredibly huge, a ball in outer space, rotating at 600 miles an hour by a power that we're not really too familiar with. But like clockwork, without fail, the sun rises and sets every day on time. We go through the seasons. And there's so much vegetation, beautiful trees and flowers and plants everywhere. All these thousands of types of insects and amphibians and reptiles and mammals and birds and fish. And then the fruit and the vegetables. It's a really beautiful world. But there's also that negativity in the atmosphere, which some people can attribute to what the Bible describes as the devil and demons. In the other way that I explained just a little while ago. But in fact, the atmosphere is kind of, a type that with gravity, it's always pushing on us. You know, we get a sucking and a blowing, and, you know, the barometer rises and falls. And then we have storms, and we have lightning, and many different ways we can die. Besides the animals, you know, there's earthquakes, there's floods, there's tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanoes. So we're living in an environment that is very dangerous, okay? Dangerous. Dangerous. But there's a lot of spiritual development to be had here. But again, if we're not developing ourselves spiritually, we're not living in accordance with the creator of our souls and spirits' will. And that's why I say these words on my radio show to help. Even if I was reaching one person, it would make a difference. Or 1,000 people. My hope is to eventually have my own radio show, if God wills it, with some major radio station, you know, an hour, 2 hour slot sometime. And maybe get paid for it. That would be cool too. Because eventually one day I'm going to retire from what I'm doing now. And I'd like to continue that. But I might add again, say again, that BBS Radio is doing great things for our spiritual development. Because I know a lot of people, I tuned in recently, a woman was talking about the Bible and King Jesus, and that's good. It's a stepping stone. For me, it was, but I had to get more details. I had to kind of, well, I wanted more. And my mother pushed me in that direction, in the right direction, so that I realized that this existence is to develop ourselves spiritually, to grow our life. I said that in my last show, grow your light, because when we leave these bodies and our spirits pop out, and you look down upon the body that you left, like a worn-out coat, and all of a sudden your light and mobile is there, and then you get to heaven, hopefully, and you get to meet your deceased relatives, and there's angels, and also, hopefully, you'll get picked up by a chariot, you know, which is an amazing vehicle of transportation operated by heaven that is very complex and has all kinds of beautiful adornings, and the interior is awesome, and it's usually driven by, I just learned in this book, by people, redeemed souls, people. Angels sometimes drive them, but now, from what I've heard, they're usually piloted by people who are redeemed, who have died and are living in heaven, continuing their spiritual development there, their evolution there, perhaps getting ready to be born again here on Earth or some other planet throughout the universe and continue their evolutionary process. But chariots, I can't remember if it was before the black people. My wife, she's black. She's African-American, in other words. Got my stepdaughter and 3 grandchildren, African-American, living with me here in my house. And coincidentally, too, my sister married a black man. And I guess we empathize, sympathize, and understand their situation, what they went through all those years ago. But anyway, a cool thing is, when we get to heaven, we can transform our spirit. We'll automatically be transformed into a younger version of ourselves. So me, I just turned 63 last week. Happy birthday. Thank you. Thank you for wishing me happy birthday. I had a nice carrot cake, a small little piece of carrot cake my wife bought me. And we had I have choir rehearsal with the gospel choir at the chapel, Freedom Chapel on Lackland Air Force Base. And after our rehearsal, we are all standing around holding hands and praying. And my wife asked everyone to sing happy birthday to me. And then afterwards, we went in, we had some of that carrot cake. It was very tasty. I had a small little piece. I can't eat too much sugar because I donated one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995 when I was in the Army. And so it's been 22 years. I try to take good care of myself, eat the right foods, get a lot of exercise. You know, I try to walk each day. I've got one of these step meters, so I count my steps. I went to Zumba today, and I just love the music they play at Zumba. And I bounce around, jump around. And I think I can handle that maybe once or twice a week. Yeah, I don't want to hurt myself, but I think I'm doing okay. Anyway, so let me read from you a part of this book here. It's called Revealing Heaven, an eyewitness account. This woman, her name is Kate Kerr, Kat Kerr, K-H-E-K-E-R-R. And she's got some illustrations there of what she saw. My friends, heaven is an incredible place. It really is. And if you knew how beautiful, how incredible, and how awesome it is, what awaits you there, the deceased relatives, the angels, the love, the joy, no pain and suffering. If you really understood that, really were able to envision that, imagine that, then you would be spending your time preparing for it. You know it's a must. And I'm not the kind of person that will tell you about, well, let me rephrase that. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and was resurrected, will be there in heaven. But I think that Jesus is not what your typical Christian will believe in. The Jesus I believe in, who is there, is different than that. It's similar. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are true with him, I believe, but doesn't speak much to who he was in his preexistence, all the past lives that Jesus had, right? Yeah, just thought of that. And so we're going to find out when we get to heaven. And for the most part, I think, in my opinion, Christians, because of their belief in the Bible, and because the Christians I've known throughout the years, throughout my life, are good, decent people. And really, I think that's the prerequisite for getting into heaven. Good, kind, generous people. I'll take someone, and I've had this discussion with people at work and other people who I've known outside of work. They say, you know, one of the main beliefs they have is if you don't go through Jesus, you won't get to heaven. Well, I don't believe that. And I'm entitled to my opinion. And we all are. I mean, you have all the different religions, the Buddhists, the Hindus. You wouldn't harm somebody because they didn't believe what you believe, would you? I mean, if you're really secure in your belief, then you don't have to defend yourself when you're explaining. I mean, you don't have to explain, you don't have to defend yourself why you believe that way if you are secure in your belief. So the only thing that matters is the truth. What is really true? And in this world, and it's not really any of our faults, we're just victims of society, victims of our civilization, where there's a lot of deception going on. Take, for example, the UFOs and the extraterrestrial phenomena. That's being covered up by people. I won't say who, but they're out there. Yet we don't know that they exist for sure because we don't have evidence. Roswell, 1947, alien spacecraft and alien spacecraft and small alien bodies were recovered. The evidence is, in my opinion, overwhelming, conclusive. The witnesses, the eyewitnesses, the man, Jesse Marcel, who recovered the initial crash remains, the remains of the spacecraft, you know, which the Air Force said was a weather balloon, which is nonsense. Before he died, check this out, before he died, he said that was all made up, that there really was spacecraft and alien bodies. Well, I mean, what more evidence do you need? You know, come on. Here's a man about to die, because he's dying of lung cancer, and he says, I told a lie. They told me to tell a lie. So anyway, there's life out there. Now we're spending billions of dollars to try to prove that there's NASA spending billions of dollars to try to prove there's life out there. When we know there are some people here on Earth that know without a doubt that they exist. It's like you out there. Yes, you. Or me. We could have a car accident tomorrow on the freeways, and you know how dangerous it is riding out there, you know. Cars and trucks all around going 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour. Something were to happen, a flat tire, you know, the engine shut off, or somebody makes an improper lane change, your car could be going head over heels. And you could die. I could die. Anyway, so let me read a little bit of this book. I'm going to tell you that actually the table of contents. God's design, number one, God's design, earth is a shadow of heaven. That's right. Everything that you see here on earth is the same in heaven because it's the sun. The sun is the fire of God. It's a very special fire. It's a nuclear fire. But the spirit, your spirit that you have inside your body, we are spirits in the material world, right? Please remember that song by the Police. Your spirit is made of light energy so it can live in the fire. Can also live in hellfire. You don't want that, right? But you can live in the fire of the sun. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Look into the sun. Mama always told me not to look into the eyes of the sun. But mama, that's where the fun is. Anyway, so earth is a shadow of heaven. All the trees, the mountains, the lakes, the rivers, fields of gold, fields of wheat, green grass, beautiful green grass. The colors of heaven are intense. You know what I've heard say in Betty Eady's book, Embraced by the Light? She said, Earth is like, remember the old Polaroid cameras? You take a picture, the negative, and then you wait a few minutes, and then the actual picture would develop. The Earth is like the negative, and heaven is like the fully developed picture. It is so much brighter, so much more colorful. The water, I mean, you have, as a spirit, you have certain, shall I say, senses. You have your senses, but they're in a different way. You can still touch, you can feel, you can eat, although you don't have bodily functions. Go figure. And the spirit is very light, can travel speed of thought, it can fly. So, earth is a shadow of heaven. Life after death, the journey begins. The angelic hosts, real personalities, that was chapter 3, dearly departed, living in the celestial city. A cloud of witnesses, a portal to view earth from. By the way, on the back here, let me read what it says about someone who read this book. The illustrations in this book will bring heaven to earth. It's called Revealing Heaven by Kat Kerr. It will bring heaven to earth. I will take you on a tour. Oh, she says that. I will take you on a tour of heaven. And besides the throne room, yes, it really exists. Yes, it's out there. It's out there. And it's inside the city. And the city is you've heard about the city, the walls, the gates, the pearly gates. There's more than one. There's precious stones on the walls. You get inside, there's a book of life. There's angels everywhere. They're redeemed. There are the patriarchs of the Bible. People from all cultures throughout the centuries. They're all there, right? Because God, they're all God's children, right? As long as they were good, decent people. I was explaining this debate I had with people who said, well, if they don't go by Jesus, they won't get to the Father. Well, take somebody who's living on the Amazon River in South America. A tribe, you know, not cannibals necessarily, but, you know, some of them who just lived their life 60, 70 years and then passed away. And they didn't have any religion per se, but they believed in nature, you know, like the American Indians did a long time ago. So when they die, does that mean they go to hell because they didn't have Jesus in their life? No. So that discounts that theory altogether. Yes. Truth will set you free. So carrying on what I was reading here, I will take you on a tour of heaven besides the throne room. You will see the rush room. By the way, I could say, everyone, somebody out there, do me a favor. Raise your hands, open your arms, put your arms, palms up. Look up into heaven, look up above you and say, I am the truth, the light, and the way. Can you say that with conviction? Do you believe it? I will help you get to the Father and the Mother also. You could do it. We all can do it. So carrying on here, it says, besides the throne room, you will see the rush. It's the biggest roller coaster. Yes, there's an amusement park in heaven that has a roller coaster. What? Why not? Huh? God's in charge and he's in control. I mean, the Spirit Mother and Father, Supreme Creator, this is a place where they've got things prepared for you. And Jesus was right when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. You have a drink of water. You'll have a mansion. I mean, depending on just how good of a person you are, you could have a beautiful place to live in there. The most beautiful house that you can imagine. A mansion could be waiting for you there. With inside, maybe marble floors with roses and gold veins in the floor. All of the architecture that you want. If you want a log cabin, you can have that too. But inside the house, you have all the furniture that you love here on earth. Indeed, it will be there. The people that are waiting for you, your deceased relatives, some that you might not even know about, are there, and they know what you want, they know what you like, and they'll prepare it for you. So it behooves each and every one of us to prepare yourselves to go to heaven. I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to wind up destroying ourselves, and I hope it doesn't happen, you know, because this rhetoric that's going on, you know, I think it's a little irresponsible. And I like Mr. Trump, but it's irresponsible to taunt someone, you know. We don't need to be involved with this in a way. A nuclear North Korea seems to be okay with China, so why wouldn't it be okay with us? Because China is their big brother, you know, they're going to defend them. So even if North Korea does have nuclear arms, and they already do, you know, we're just trying to get them to discontinue their nuclear program, then things aren't going to be too much different. Now, I know Kim Jong-un, he's a bit of a rebel, you know, but maybe he'll mellow out. We need to pray for him. Hopefully he'll have a change of heart. You know, the Creator will change his heart. And he'd be, you know, more like a normal person, you know. But they've had a hard time ever since the Korean War broke out in the 50s, right? Afterwards, they've been kind of, they're like Germany after World War One. And I hope that doesn't happen again, but I don't think it will. But you have to understand, you know, after a war, like Germany, after World War One, they had that bitterness, that anger that developed because having been defeated in World War One, you know, and the poverty and the hard times they went through after the war. It's kind of like what's going on in North Korea now. So we need to be more understanding of the situation. And I think, as you know, we could probably wipe out the entire North Korean peninsula with nuclear weapons, but we don't want to do that. There's a lot of men and women and children there who are kind of oppressed and subject to his will, who are not living in freedom, should be. But China's aware of it. I think if we're trusting China, you know, they seem to be reasonable people. Logical people. So I think we can live with a nuclear North Korea. And why not? I mean, it's like if you lived in a neighborhood where everybody had guns and you only had a bow and arrow, wouldn't you also want to get a gun? Because you'd feel safer, right? The same with North Korea. They want nuclear weapons because they know the United States has thousands of them. And they don't trust us. Why should they trust us after the Korean War? Especially with a president who is kind of running off the mouth a little bit, you know. I understand Mr. Trump. I like him a whole lot. But this is not doing any good for him or for his future, you know. He might be, just be a one-term president. Anyway, so let me finish reading what I was reading here. I only got a few more minutes left. So, yeah, there is a roller coaster in heaven. Isn't that amazing? I just read that today. But I know a lot about what exists in heaven, what will be there waiting for us when we get there. The portal, you can go to the portal. It's a place called the portal and learn what the redeemed are able to feel on earth. Visit heaven's nurseries and meet Arami, one of the angels who care for miscarried and aborted babies. Now, that's a stunning thing. Yeah, that's true. But according to my beliefs, the babies, aborted or miscarried babies, for the younger children who die suddenly and get to heaven, depending on whether they were or are an advanced soul, will determine if they then kind of become adapt to that age 30 mold, in other words. But if they're a new soul, like for the first time, then they would have to grow up there in heaven, you know, be raised in these nurseries until they reach that age 30 mold, which seems to be the norm for people living in heaven. So if you have a grandmother, grandfather, father, mother who passed away when they were old, you know, like in the movie Heaven is for Real, when the boy said, when the father showed him the picture of his father when he was old, no, that's not him. But when he came back with the picture of how he looked when he was 30 years old, he said, yeah, that's Pops. And there's evidence right there that heaven is for real, right? The heaven is real. Now all you need to believe is that it is in a location, it's a round place, it's a round planet, heavenly body. It's a round heavenly body, it's the sun. And I know there are other suns out there, but then it's like there are many other heavens. Those suns are indigenous to the species that live in that solar system, and there are many different species, thousands and thousands. In the book, The Contact Has Begun, the author who was abducted by these extraterrestrials called the Burden said that there is an intergalactic federation of sovereign planets. Check that out. Say that. Everybody repeat after me. Intergalactic federation of sovereign planets. It sounds kind of movie-like, right? Like Hollywood, kind of like, but it's true. And when he wrote the book, he said there was 26,000 species, separate species in that federation. And they wanted us to be in that federation. And the plans were being made for that to happen. The process was put into place, but guess what happened? 9/11, and they said, man, well, we already knew that these human beings had a lot of wars in their past, and they're killing people left and right, but there's a lot of good people, too, like people that get these shows on VBS radio, or the artists and the musicians, the good-hearted people, the generous. But then 9/11 happened, and those people flew those airplanes into the World Trade Center, and they said, you know what, these human beings are probably going to kill themselves. Well, let's not. Let's turn it around. Let's not kill ourselves. Continue to live and raise our children and the children of the future so we can live God's will. Because one thing you don't want to do, my friends, ladies and gentlemen, there is a supreme creator out there, a power that is incomprehensible. But one thing you don't want to do is respect him, her, because the creator created everything. And if you destroy what he or she created, you know what the expression is, how the expression goes? Hell hath no fury like a creator that sees his creation being destroyed. Yeah. Anyway, my friends, it's getting time where I might have to say a prayer here. I didn't read too much from that book. I wanted to read more. I do have a little note posted tab here. Praise your friends. Praise your family more often. You know how we praise God at church? Why can't we do it to ourselves more often? Please. Faith is the greatest expression of love. I'm telling you this. You can go through time. Well, let me rephrase that. When you say something like, hey, good job, well done, all right, you know, you did great work there. That was outstanding. You know, you look really good today. That's a nice shirt. I really like your hairstyle. You know what? I love you. What you did was fantastic. You are a good person. You're a good man. You're a good woman. Thank you for doing that. You are awesome. Praise. Praise each other. You'll make the world a better place. Say more good things. There's not enough of it going around. It's more of the opposite. The negative, you know. Saying bad things about people. Drugs. Stay away from drugs. They're a curse. They're one of the curses on earth. You don't need drugs. You don't need drugs to get high. You can get high on looking up into the night sky. So raise your cup. Raise the bar. Toast to the stars out there, my friend. Because the universe is a huge, huge place. And it is the final frontier. Just like it says in Star Trek. There's so much out there to be explored, and we have only touched the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. There is life out there. Believe me. Do you believe me? It is out there, and it's waiting to be discovered, and it will change everything. It will change our whole perspective when we realize that there is life elsewhere in the universe, we will have bridge the gap between belief and knowledge. The world will be in a much better position. And God will be very happy when we know that there is life. When I say God, I mean our spirit, mother, and father, or the supreme creator. And there's a co-creator God of our Milky Way galaxy, too. Quick prayer, 20 seconds. Dear spirit, mother, and father in heaven, thank you. We love you. You're awesome. Please continue to bless us. Bless the United States of America. Help us, please. Help us not to destroy ourselves. We love you. We praise you. Goodbye, everybody. I love you. Take care. May God bless us, everyone. Blake Ruby saying goodbye.